So thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Digitally Diverse. Today we are joined by the wonderful Amanda Chan. She is the lead product designer at Leica. Thank you for joining us, Amanda.
No worries. So good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about your story and your journey. How have you gotten to where you are?
Been a bit of a crazy ride, I think. So I actually started off not in tech or in product or design. And it was only from recruitment, actually, when I met a lot of designers, I realized this is what I wanted to do. And then at the time, I was also trying to build my own company on the side. And I was like, oh, this is actually a job where I can design things and build things. And that's how I got into product. So yeah, it's been super weird. So I studied marketing and management, so totally different. And I started off in a sales and marketing role. And it was in the tech space. There's a lot of talking to clients. And then I moved around, moved to London, and then moved to Australia. And I got into recruitment, and that's when I kind of started meeting people in tech, understood tech a bit more, and I decided to change into this career that I have now. And since then, I've been mostly working in startups from seed to companies that are, I guess, a bit bigger. The biggest company is probably Seek, but my bread and butter is probably startups, scale-ups. It's been super exciting just because I think in startups, you kind of get to do everything. And yeah, it's probably where I enjoy the most.
Amazing. Yeah. And I think people get addicted to startups and that pace and the ups and the downs. So tell us a little bit more about Leica and where you're at the moment.
Yeah, sure. I've been at Leica for a year now. I think it'll be a year in a couple of weeks. And we've grown so much. I think when I joined, the product team was about 5 people. We're over 20 people now within a year, which is a crazy growth. And then when I joined, I was the only product designer. Right now, I'm leading a team of 2, soon to be 3 people. And we've got different squads. And yeah, there's a lot of growth. I think I'm like thinking about what the product that we're launching. I'm like, oh, we can't talk about all of it. But since I've joined, we've also launched supplements for dogs, which is really cool.
Yeah. For the people that don't know, can you like tell us a little bit more about what Leica does?
Yeah, definitely. So Leica is a pet wellness company. At the moment, we focus on dogs. Our founder has a dog named Leica, and this is kind of how she founded the company. And Leica, the dog, had kind of health issues at the start, and she wanted to make sure that Leica was getting the best nutrition. And so she kind of just cooked food for Leica, the dog, and realized there's a gap in the market. And that's kind of how Leica, the company, is born. So we do meals for dogs that are whole food, human grade. And then we also do treats and supplements.
So cool. So it's like a subscription-based thing as well, right? So it's kind of like HelloFresh for dogs.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. It's such a good idea. But a lot of people want to make those really healthy homemade products for their pups. So yeah, I think it's such a great gap in the market for you guys to jump into. But yeah, that's fantastic. So Amanda, what kind of problems are you guys solving at Leica at the moment?
Yeah, there's a lot of problems, but I think one of the main ones that we're looking at is education. So I actually realized when I joined that there's a lot of things that I didn't know about dog nutrition. I've got a dog and I used to just kind of cook chicken or carrots and celery for her. But I didn't realize that there's so much more food that she could be eating. And I think a lot of dog parents also don't know about this. And there's a lot of myths around kibbles. So that's one of the big problems that we're trying to tackle, is how do we educate dog owners on these myths that they're hearing, that they've known for years. I think what has also been happening is that we've had kibbles for so many years, people just buy it because it's a habit, it's convenient, it's cheap, I guess, cheaper, a lot cheaper than a lot of the whole foods. So we're trying to figure out how do we educate people on when there's a food that can stay on the shelf for a year or two. Is that good for dogs? If not, what are the better alternatives and what dogs actually need for them to live a happier, healthier life? And one of the biggest myth that I learned when I joined was that Kibbles doesn't actually clean teeth. And that was one of the things that I really thought was something good for the dogs. And we're trying to get that across so people understand a lot more about how the whole nutrition world works for their dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, yeah, just making sure that users and customers are aware of, you know, there is some better things out there that could be more beneficial to their pups. Love that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and you mentioned as well before that your team has grown substantially in the last 12 months. What kind of culture do you guys have at Leica? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's been very exciting. I think with this amount of growth, there's always going to be teething issues, or I think growth pains. And I think it's good and bad. I love it because I love the chaos in startups. And it means we're putting in a lot of systems to make sure we can run faster. So the culture, I think, is changing in a good way. I think we were a little bit more ad hoc before, but now that we've got a lot more people, we're putting in, I guess, structure, but we're still keeping the kind of startup mentality. So we still get to jump onto projects that we want to do, that we're passionate about. If we see a problem, we get to propose to fix it, back it up with data, and actually do something about it. But I think there's a lot more understanding of what each department is, what we're responsible for. So a really cool time.
Yeah, no, that's super exciting. And you're right, every startup does go through those growth pains. And it's great that you guys are prioritizing that efficiency aspect, because yeah, a lot of companies get tripped up at this point. So it's great to hear that you guys are all full steam ahead.
Yeah.
I guess on a more personal level, did you kind of like go through any higher education or anything prior to moving into the tech industry?
Yeah, I did my degree in, it was Bachelor of Commerce. Mm-hmm. I did do a General Assembly course in user experience.
What kind of like were your main takeaways with that? Did you feel like that would kind of really set you up for success?
I think it did in a way, but not in the traditional sense, because I think a lot of it is you have to keep doing research on your own. There's a lot of reading outside of that course. I think the mm-hmm. course, what it did was give me confidence to know that I can do it. But a lot of, I think, product design is the softer skills, like stakeholder management, working with other people, understanding what a developer does, what a product manager does, and then how do we get communicate the points across via design, or sometimes it's even just talking. The course helped, but there's still a lot more work outside of it.
Yeah, that's so true. A lot of the job is like that connection piece and being able to communicate your ideas and back yourself up with the data. So yeah, when I speak with a lot of people that have done, you know, a General Assembly course or an Academy XI course, it gives them a really great foundation, but those skills that you get on the job are just as important, or if not more important. So no, that's great.
It's actually interesting because when we're recruiting, you can kind of see who has been taught by GA, like their portfolios are very similar, very structured way of teaching.
Mm-hmm. It definitely has an aesthetic, that's for sure. And by no means is that like a bad thing. It's just like, yeah, it's just they've got a look. Is there, like you mentioned before, that, you know, if you do have a background in recruiting and that's how you got, you know, absorbed into the tech industry. But what was there like a big catalyst for you wanting to move into tech?
I think the biggest thing was I love creating. And I think as much as I love recruitment, I like on the side, I would always be trying to make something. And I just wanted to turn that into a job.
Yeah. And did that kind of come from, like, you mentioned that you had a side hustle while you were still in that role. What did that look like?
It was, it's called Faux Art. It's not live anymore, but it's a marketplace for emerging artists and then restaurants and art buyers. Basically, the concept is artists get to put their art on the walls. People that go into the cafes or restaurants can scan a code and buy the art and then take it home. So kind of cool. The hope was that everyone would have a win-win, because normally artists, they have to spend a lot of money to find an exhibition space, restaurants have to pay for their art, and people don't normally see emerging artists unless they look for galleries or exhibition spaces. Yeah, that was kind of the hope. It was a lot harder to execute than I thought because I only had weekends to work on it. And then COVID hit and the cafes I was exhibiting in, they closed down. Oh, so, no. Unfortunately.
But that's, I mean, it's such a great idea in the fact that you were able to jump on it. You know, it's a win-win for everyone. And did you like kind of meet people throughout that journey that like paved the way for you to really get going in tech?
I think I met a lot more restaurant owners and artists. I think what paved the way was actually when I was recruiting and candidates would tell me about kind of the work that they've been doing. And it was just understanding it. And when I did the course, they encouraged a lot of networking and just going to a lot of meetups helped actually.
Yeah. That's the number one thing that I love to encourage people to do as well is, you know, it's all about who you know. And it sounds really cringy and it sounds really old school, but you know, if people are more willing to help out the people that are, you know, within their community and are active in the design community. So yeah, I mean, is there any other advice that you would give to people just starting out in design or thinking about starting out in design?
Yeah, if you're looking to switch careers, I think just do it. It took me so long. I think I've thought about it for a really long time and there's a lot of things that held me back before I changed because it's like I'm going to have to start all over again. It's something that I don't know. But once that change has happened, it just makes sense. Mm-hmm. And once you've made the commitment, it just works. I think the other thing is networking, like you said, it really helps. That's how I got my first job. It was from someone that I knew that was someone that they worked with. And so going to a lot of meetups, I got to understand how companies worked and people would just introduce you to jobs that are available. So networking.
Yeah. Do you currently like go to any networking events yourself?
Not at the moment. I think since COVID I've been like, oh, I'll just sit at home. Probably should go again though.
There is quite a few like really great virtual ones as well. I really love the Girls in Tech Australia group do, I think, monthly virtual meetups where, you know, they'll have their meetup in Sydney or in Melbourne, but they'll live stream it as well. So that's really great for me. Like I'm in Newcastle, so I probably wouldn't be able to make most of them in Sydney or Melbourne. So yeah, that's a really good one that I like to recommend people just check out, and you can stay home and in your jammies if you still want to check it out.
Yeah, that's what I do sometimes, like turn the camera off, put my audio on.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. And I guess like for like education wise, is there like now that you've gone down the GA path, would you recommend that to someone over perhaps going through a, you know, 3 or sometimes 4 year degree?
Great question. If I think the goal is to be a, say, UX designer, product designer, or I know they do developer courses as well, I think, yes, super valuable. I think uni is more about learning how to learn as opposed to the actual content. And GA is like really preparing you. This is what you're going to do in the job. So I think if the goal is to be a UX designer, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's slowly getting to that point. And as for someone myself who did a 3-year university degree in design, it's, yeah, that what you said about learning how to learn is very spot on. I'd never thought of it that way. but yeah, definitely more theoretical, which is sometimes fantastic. It's really great to know the foundations and the basis of design at a very, very like foundational level. But if you're wanting to, you know, get kickstarted into design at a very technical level, a lot of the time, what I learned in first year was out of date by the time I graduated. So it's, these like really, really quick turnaround General Assembly courses or Academy XI, I know there's plenty of others, you know, that quick turnaround is probably quite good because you're being taught by, you know, people in the industry as well who know what is really current and topical and like what hiring managers are looking for. So yeah, that's it's very interesting. And it's whenever I speak to people about that, it's pretty 50-50. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes in the next few years.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, like, once you get into the industry and you feel like, oh, I need to top up, you can also still do a degree part-time to be like, I want to be a product manager now, or I want to lead a team where you do need management experience or more theoretical understanding. Then you can always do that on the side.
Yeah, 100%. And there's so many, especially online now, especially over the last few years, there's so many things that you can, you know, do after hours or on the weekends that, you know, we couldn't do 5-10 years ago. So yeah, it's a great time to be in tech because you can pick up so many things quite quickly.
So true.
So Amanda, what lights you up and inspires you to do the work that you are doing at Leica?
Yeah, I think specifically at Leica, we're extremely mission driven, which is awesome. I think about like 80% of the people at work have dogs or pets of some sort. And so I think when we're working, we're really thinking, how do we prolong the lives of our pets and other people's pets? And that really excites me. But if we're talking about like specifically inspirations, it's actually been a bit of a journey. So I think back in when I first started working, I would always try and find inspirations, like watch YouTube, I don't know, go on Pinterest, look for people that Pinterest I admire. I love Pinterest. And then I realized these lulls, the only way that I could get out of it and find inspiration was just to do something. And that's what really motivates me now. So whenever I'm uninspired or unmotivated, I'm just like, I have to start something, do the simplest thing first. Once I get started, then inspiration comes. Instead of waiting, it's a lot more proactive and it usually works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's, yeah, even just in life in general, like if you're not motivated to do something, just getting started and getting that momentum going, it helps so much, right? Like, and yes, there's always a time and a place to hop on Pinterest for a casual scroll, but when you actually have to like get into the work, you've just kind of got to jump in, and it's going to feel gross and slow for the first little bit, but then yeah, once it gets cranking, then you're good to go.
Yeah, I love the word momentum. I'm like, once I get it, I'm just so happy.
Yeah. And I guess, like, is that been like a bit of a speed bump for you in your career, or has there been any times that you've kind of had to put on the brakes and realize that something wasn't working?
Yeah, I think there's probably quite a few times. One of the biggest ones that I can remember is probably when Fawad kind of died. So the side project that I was working on, I think because I had so much confidence or belief that it would work, and when it didn't, I lost a lot of my confidence, I think, and that kind of seeped through other parts of work where I was like, can I actually do this if I can't even make this thing happen? Do I even know what I'm doing? And it was pretty scary, but also think it humbled me a lot to know that I'm going to fail a lot moving forward. I think seeing those failures and turning them into learnings really helped, because I was, after maybe like a year, I was like, okay, it's actually fine because I can take those learnings and apply it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess in the moment it feels quite stingy, and yeah, that when you have to like actually face the fact that like, okay, this probably isn't going to go any further.
Yeah, it is.
You're able to look back on that now, and you know, if that hadn't happened, you probably wouldn't be where you're at right now, right?
Yeah, or I could have been a founder of Fawad. No.
But now you get to be with all the dogs all day and help out pets, and you're working on a really great product. And yeah, I think everything kind of leads you to where you're at.
No, 100%.
Put that down to one chapter and look at where you're at right now.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is realizing that if it doesn't work out, it's probably just timing. Like, I probably didn't have the right skill sets at that time. So maybe later on, if I did start it up again and I had better skills, maybe it'll work better. So just accepting that it's a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many things that go into making something like quote unquote successful. Like you're right, skills, and you personally is only one, you know, tiny portion of what makes something take off. But, you know, COVID probably had something to do with it as well. And like a whole bunch of other things. So yeah, it is quite humbling when things don't necessarily go to plan. Because, you know, it at the end of the day, yes, it does have something to do with you, but also it has a lot to do with a whole bunch of other outside factors. So no, that's great that you can like acknowledge that and move on from it.
Yeah.
But I guess, is there anything that, kind of going back to what we were previously talking about, is there anything that you do regularly to kind of keep up that motivation and like productivity or self-care?
Yeah. this kind of relates to the momentum thing that I was talking about, that you said actually, momentum. So when I kind of want to get inspired, I usually exercise. It sounds really lame and boring. Or when I'm like in the lull, I'm just like, okay, I need to go for a run or go to the gym. That usually motivates me or inspires me. I watch a lot of YouTube and listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. My favorite podcast is Hidden Brain. It's not product, but it's psychology, and they talk about a lot of the theories, I guess, that we can use in product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have heard really great things about that podcast, Hidden Brain. It's always good to take on content that's not 100% related to work, right? Because I think if we all did that, we'd go crazy.
Yeah.
Is there any other like media or podcasts that you listen to?
There's a guy, I can't remember his name now, but he makes really short and fast, I think it's TikTok and Instagram videos about how to prototype things on Figma. I'll have to find the name of it.
I've heard about him. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Maybe we can put that in the description if we remember it before we post.
And he always starts the video with like how to do something super fast, and he actually does it in like 30 seconds or something.
So cool. Yeah, that kind of stuff, it's so easy to take on that content and put it into practice straight away. Super handy. Mm.
Yeah.
And yeah, do you kind of have like any mentors at Leica, or perhaps, you know, just from your career in general that you like to talk to or gain mentorship or inspiration from?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of really smart and inspirational people at Leica. They're not, I guess, strictly what you'd call mentors, but you can kind of go to them for anything. We've got a new CPO, CPTO, I think is his title. And also his wife also works with us, Marina, and they're both really good at, I guess, they're really strategic and give out really interesting advice about how we should be working and a company like this. They've worked with a lot of scale-ups and larger companies. Yeah, it's been super interesting. And I think there's also other people. I've been really lucky. I've had some really cool bosses or really caring bosses in the past. One of them is actually from recruitment, Sam Watts, and she's extremely inspiring. I think she kind of taught me how to care for my work, and I think she founded the company, and she kind of still works to make sure it runs properly. She'll still recruit if needed. And I think that kind of tenacity is not often seen in, I guess, other places.
It showcases people's leadership skills when they're still on the tools, right? And that goes for like any industry. So yeah, that's great that you're able to have that leadership and that mentorship. That's something that's so important that I think a lot of leaders sometimes get jaded throughout their career, and they don't want to be on the tools anymore and in amongst the weeds with the, you know, so-called like the regular people. But that's really nice to hear that, you know, you've got like a really solid group of people behind you who are like cheering you on.
Yeah, definitely. And just on the tools thing, I think it's so helpful even for people that are in management or even more strategic leadership teams to sometimes go back into the weeds and figure, oh, these are actually the problems when you're on the tools. So I know how to manage people or how to direct people.
Yeah. And they know like what your priorities are when you're actually doing the work instead of, you know, that finish line stuff. There's so much that, you know, you can sometimes forget when you're not doing the work as well. So no, that's great.
Mm.
Cool. And one quick question for you, Amanda.
Mm.
If you could give your younger self any career advice, what would that be?
I would tell myself that I need to believe in myself. I think that's been a thing that's held me back a little bit sometimes. What happens a lot is when I do believe that I can do something, it actually happens. And as soon as I lose that confidence, everything else kind of falls apart. So it's just keeping that motivation going by believing that I can do it.
Mm-hmm. And does that happen by like relying on your support system at work, or how does that usually happen for you?
I think, yeah, support system really helps. The other thing that I've learned recently is to celebrate wins. I don't think I've done that in the past. In the past, if I didn't succeed at something or if something didn't go my way, I would be like, what was wrong with it? And maybe sometimes beat myself up mentally. I think I'm like trying to tackle the problem by looking at everything that I've done wrong. But what really helps is every time something does go well, to cheer myself on and be like, okay, I've done something good. And that mm-hmm. gives me a boost of, I guess, motivation or momentum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And you're right. It's all well and good to take those learnings of things that don't necessarily go super well. But the same can be said for, you know, things that go incredibly well. Be like, hey, what actually worked here, and what can I take from this to build up the next project or the next product or the next feature? So yeah, it's all about balance. And yes, heck yes, you deserve to celebrate all those wins.
Yeah, even the tiny ones.
Yes, even the small ones, super important. But thank you so much for joining us, Amanda. I learned so, so much, you know, really passionate about your work and about your craft. And yeah, I'm just really grateful to have you on today.
Thanks so much, Alan. Thanks for having me. That was really fun.